And now, with a roundup of some other new science stories that are hitting the headlines this week, including how Batman's cape isn't as effective as he would hope, here is Meera Senthilingam.
Two proteins have been identified to help fight and potentially treat the neurodegenerative condition Huntington's disease, according to research in the journal Science. Patients with the disease have a gene mutation resulting in misfolded forms of the protein HTT, which then builds up in their central nervous system, causing the progressive deterioration of muscle control and cognitive decline. But now, Albert Laspada from the University of California, San Diego, found that elevating levels of the proteins PGC1-alpha and TFEB in patients with the disease helped prevent the build-up of mutant HTT proteins, preventing their aggregation and resulting neurotoxic effects.
There are features of Huntington's disease that are shared by more common neurodegenerative disorders like Parkinson's disease. So if we can develop therapies based upon these strategies, they should not only be applicable to Huntington's disease, but also be applicable to Parkinson's disease and perhaps other neurodegenerative disorders.
Smart materials with the ability to regulate their temperature have been developed by scientists at Harvard University, publishing in the journal Nature. Modelled on the process of homeostasis in the human body, whereby body temperature is maintained at 37 degrees, these homeostatic materials consist of a surface gel layer which, in response to a drop in temperature, activates the movement of catalyst-containing structures into a second reactant layer where the catalyst initiates an exothermic reaction, causing the release of heat. Joanna Eisenberg led the team, who hoped to use this technique to control a wide range of environmental conditions.
The prototype material shows that we can maintain a constant temperature. But in fact, the same strategy can be adapted to create materials that maintain constant glucose level in the bloodstream or pH in water supply. We're really thinking now of a whole range of materials that are capable of autonomous self-regulation.
Altruistic individuals have more grey matter in the region of their brain responsible for empathy. Writing in Neuron, Yosuke Morishima from the University of Zurich used fMRI techniques to monitor brain activity in human volunteers as they answered questions about splitting money between themselves and others. His team found that the volume of grey matter found in a region of the brain known as the temporoparietal junction and the level of activity there was a strong indicator of how altruistic an individual would be.
When you look at the other people, so we can't tell whether that person is really nice or really generous or selfish, but our study would partly tell us about individual private information which cannot be transparent. And also, some behavioral studies have shown that people who are living in a really large society tend to behave more altruistically compared to the people who live in a small society. Maybe we might be able to elucidate the cultural influence on our brain and on our behaviors.
And finally, the cape used by well-known superhero Batman to glide from tall buildings would, in reality, send him crashing to the ground at high speed. Physics students at the University of Leicester calculated that the 4.7-metre wingspan of Batman's cape, seen in the recent films by Christopher Nolan, which becomes rigid as an electric current passes through it, isn't big enough to enable the caped crusader to glide to safety when jumping from a building 150 metres high. In fact, the team led by David Marshall worked out that the hero would hit the ground at 50 miles an hour.
Batman's cape is maybe not as effective as it could be just because it's too small. When you look at it compared to, say, a hang glider, it's about half the size that it needs to be to keep Batman aloft. And it's okay for moving. He can get to about twice as far as he can fall, which is sufficient for getting between buildings. But by the time he gets there, he'll be travelling around about 50 miles an hour. So there's a few different ways that he could fix this by getting a bigger cape, or he needs some sort of active propulsion system, such as jetpacks, really. Batman needs to find some better way to deal with this.
And their paper, Trajectory of a Falling Batman, was published this week in the University of Leicester Journal of Special Physics Topics.
Meera Senthilingam with our Naked Scientists Newsflash.